Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to everyone. Welcome to the FS3 Program Working Group, Program Subgroup Co-Chairs Call, taking place on Monday, 1st of April 2019 at 16:30 UTC. On our call today, we have Maureen Hilliard, Cheryl Langdonor, Olivier Crepin-Leblanc, Eduardo Diaz, Wanda Scartizini, David Cole, and Glenn McKnight. We don't have any apologies for today's call, and from the staff side, we have Gisela Gruber and myself, Yeshim Nazlar, as well as Heidi Ulrich. And I'll be doing call management for today's call. And again, just a kind reminder to state your names for the transcription purposes, please. And now I would like to leave the floor back to you, Olivier. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Yeshim. Olivier Crepin-Leblanc speaking. Welcome, everyone. Welcome, David. For some of us, this is the second call back-to-back on at-large summit issues. So today's call is going to be really a discussion with David Kolb. For those of you who don't know him, David is with a company called Insight Learning and has been running many of the leadership training programs that ICANN has been having for participants. He's worked a lot with Sandra Hofer-Richter, whom you might know, and he's basically been drafted in, or we had a meeting with him, we as in Maureen and Eduardo and I had a brief meeting with him in Kobe, and basically said, look, we have all this program of plenaries and sessions and so on to put together, and we're basically looking at teaching the participants for the AppLarg Summit a whole range of things. And we really don't have an actual method per se, and we would benefit from your help. Now, the actual agenda, as you know, is changing all the time. So the actual schedule of plenaries and workshops is changing. It's still not cast in stone, and what we've learned is that we might know it as late as in September. So we're not going to go around in circles doing nothing until then. And so what we really need to do is to put aside the whole schedule of saying, well, is it better to have a workshop before a plenary and a plenary before a workshop? And are we going to have this room or that room or whatever? We have no idea. It's really So instead of concentrating on this, what we need to try and work on now is to see what first what David can offer us. And is able to would be suggesting the sort of type and format of things we could have in this face-to-face meeting, and then we need to get the group, and so that now that's not just us, the leadership of that program group, but the whole program group that Wanda and Glenn are leading, to design the session content, which I think is probably going to be one of the more important things, since if you're going to have some case scenarios, we need case scenarios that are real, at-large case scenarios that will resonate with our people, that will resonate with our community, not stuff that is out of the book and that doesn't resonate and bears no resemblance at all to what the reality of things are. So that's a little bit the sort of view, I think, of probably what we have. David doesn't have a huge amount of time. He doesn't only work for ICANN. He works for other organizations as well. So we need to use his time wisely and try and get sort of a good vision on today's call of what we could do. And then we can go in our corner and then prepare for the next call. Goodness when, but, you know, we need to come out of this call today with a kind of a roadmap of what we're going to do next on this. I think that's what we are going to do. Eduardo, did you wish to add anything?
No, this is Eduardo for the record, and you covered it very well. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. So I think we can turn over to David Kolb then, unless there are any questions at this point from Vanda or from Glenn. And I see that Glenn has disappeared from the Adobe Connect.
Excuse me, it's Glenn.
Yes, I
disappeared from Adobe Connect because my connectivity here at the hotel dropped, so the last 5 minutes I missed. I'm on a Deagle.
Okay, so you missed me talking.
Yeah, which means I didn't miss anything.
Okay, fine. That's okay with me. All right, so I'm not seeing any hands up. So, David, over to you then.
Sure. So this is David Kolb, for the record. What we discussed a bit in Kobe, just to recap some of that in terms of the approach to the content for Atlas, was to think about perhaps doing a case approach so that we develop what I'll call a mini case study. And in the mini case study, we create some backstory for the participants so they know where this is coming from. We may use something real that was done in the past or something that we all dread or something that's currently being worked on or something totally fictitious but ICANN relevant. And then we create our scenarios and our content-related information based on that. So we pull a thread throughout the program where we're back to the case and we create case characters and things like that. That's one approach. And then just the other approach would be to prioritize what our teaching content buckets are. And what I mean by that is if we think about, you know, leadership in general, one of the topics that came out was like writing skills, which is not my bailiwick, but you'd have somebody else come in to work with writing skills or someone internal. And then I would work around the personal and interpersonal effectiveness. And since the agenda is in flux, then, you know, my thought would be that we would figure out what our teaching content is going to be and prioritize it. So here's our list of, in our ideal world, we'd like to cover these 7-8 topics. However, if our time is constrained in different ways, you know, here's our priority on those 7 or 8 topics. And then from there, I would create the design and the flow of how those topics are going to fit within the time constraints that we have, knowing you've also got competing topics, too, during the time frames that you want to work with as well. So I guess my short answer to that long, rambling intro is, you know, I'm happy to design you know, whatever you want within the constraints that we have and without trying to, if I can use the expression, boil the ocean and do too much, you know, and then also trying to be realistic about what can be covered in the time span that we have, too.
Okay, thanks for this, David. Any questions or comments from anyone? Eduardo Diaz.
Thank you, Olivia. This is Eduardo. For the record, I just want to make sure, David, this event is basically 4 days in a week, and you're going to be with us the first 3 days. Is that correct?
That's what we discussed, just to be cost-effective for you, so we're not, you know, where I'm not there for a fourth day and I'm only working for an hour or so, you know, in the afternoon, the way that last draft agenda was drafted. And 3 days, I think, would be adequate based on what the meeting sequence looks like, too.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you,
please.
Okay, thanks for this. Glenn, Vanda, I know that you've already done some work on several instances of a potential program, but now that David is there, how do you, you know, do you have any questions specifically on what can be done in here? Bearing in mind, I don't know whether you have already discussed the case, you know, the idea of having a case on the one side and then the writing skills course on the other and this sort of thing. Am I muted? Vanda's got a Z.
Okay. This is Vanda for the record. Well, we haven't discussed much with the new group because a lot of people just join our group, and because of COVID meeting and known after that, we didn't discuss much. I believe it can work, but I don't know if I have some cases. The cases, in my opinion, should be like workshops where people are dividing around in small tables or in small groups or whatever, and discuss how they could behave in front of one case that is exposed, that is presented for them. Because what we expect is people to be active discussing how they should behave in front of one real situation. Because it's the idea to have performance as a leader demands a lot of training. Some of the members can already have leadership positions, so they can do very well. But many others have no chance to have groups of people or face a situation where they have to deal with some difficult situation and coordinate a group of people. So my idea is really to have people discussing and present solutions, how they will do if they face this or that case in your day life in ICANN. So that is the way I believe case studies can work. Just present them, I don't believe that will add much value for that. So that's it from my point of view. But we haven't discussed much with the group, so it's just my personal opinion. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for this, Vanda. It's Olivia speaking. So from what I hear from David, there's going to be writing skills. What you were suggesting is leadership skills to be the another thing that would be taught there.
That's
a good point. And then you mentioned a case study, and David mentioned a case study. Are we looking at having one case study or case studies, as in a smaller number of case studies every day, or maybe even two case studies a day or something? What works better? And I'm asking really for David, I guess, because he's done case studies there as well. Or Vanda.
Yeah, go ahead, Dave.
Thank you, Vanda. This is David for the record. So, Vanda, we're in total agreement in terms of how it would be presented. And then the way that kind of what I'm calling a case-threaded workshop works is we work with one large case, you know, meaning here's the context for this particular, whether it's a review or a policy development, you know, whatever we decide is going to be the best, and I'll say juiciest, if I will, because you want some good, you know, emotional content around the topics that are there. So we have this big piece of information, but then building from that, and this is to Olivier's point, you've got these scenarios, which could be called mini cases, but scenarios that come off of that. So if we have this larger context where, you know, here are the players that are working on this particular project, and then in the breakout room, so in the group, let's say, so the way it would run is everybody gets previous information before the workshops. They kind of get the history, if you will, and the what I'd call the backstory. And then when they come to the workshop in November, then we start working with the content as it ties into this. So, for example, let's say that we're doing a piece around, I'll say conflict and mediation. Then, you know, we talk about the frameworks of conflict and mediation, and then we create scenarios based on the case that the groups break up into, and then they start to go work on. So in this, in scenario one, you know, we need to do X, Y, and Z to handle this conflict. And then what I like to design in is some surprises. So, for example, some of the ALAC leaders that are going to be attending this, they might play case characters where they go into one of the breakout rooms as a case character and say, so what do you got for me? How are we going to solve this thing? And they're actually providing the conflict interface for someone in that group to interface with them and practice the conflict handling skills. And then on the problem-solving side, let's say we move to the writing skills, is they have to produce this, you know, whatever would be the appropriate time-framed document that they have to produce in this, you know, day one or day two. They part of their work is this one page, a summary, whatever we want to call it, that's appropriate for the environment. And that's part of what their outcome. And the culmination on the third day would be then a presentation of how they would address the case problems that are presented, and they would present that then to the rest of the group, or they would present that to the board chair, or they would present that to, and I use different characters, we can do it as a role play where they are presenting their information, and then also we can do it as a group presentation where the group plays the role of whoever the larger audience would be that this problem would be presented to, and then they give feedback and critique each other on how they did, both in terms of their written information as well as their presenting and how the group presented that back physically and verbally to them. And then, you know, I'll break that up into different ways. So everybody will actually have to present the findings. And the way that I do that is in a group of, let's say that you're working in a breakout group of five or six people. So all five or six of you have the message points of your solution. And then when we go back into the main room with everybody, and let's say that we have four different breakouts, I'll create sub-breakouts within the main room where there's going to be one person from each of the teams then presenting to each other what their findings are. So everybody has a chance to physically present the information, and it's not just one person that's speaking for the group that, you know, that runs the 3 days. So everybody has to participate with it. So again, yeah, the summary there is it's very interactive.
Well, the methodology, Vanda, for the record, the methodology, I completely agree with you. The only point we need to pay some attention is the language issues, because when you break, no all rooms can be translated and so on. Mm. So we needed to separate groups by language in some way. And this will to maybe give the chance for them to participate, because if it's not that, you know, in French language or Spanish language, they may not really participate because they cannot follow. So that is only point that I believe. What we have done in last presentation I made for the content, we just separate the content issues. What we can do is how to englobe all the content in a case. So because we need to explain in some way what we expect from each kind of leadership situation. And this general explanation could be the first part of the first day. And then the cases, mostly, or one big case, if it's possible, must cover all the issues we are talking to allow people to exercise leadership conditions for it, for the case. So that's the way I believe could work very well. Thank you.
Excellent.
Thanks, Brenda. It's Olivier speaking. David, you mentioned the different groups. Are the groups competing with each other?
They're not competing per se, but what they would be doing is, you know, and again, there's lots of flexibility here. But what I've seen work very well is to have the same people working together, you know, as it applies to the casework throughout the 3 days, so they build their solution together, you know, which ends up in their presentations at different points throughout the 3 days. And to Vonda's point, I think it's a great idea to find out what the languages are in the room, and perhaps we create our groups based on that, so that we've got native speakers, you know, that are with each other, or maybe as a second language at least, you know, here's the French room, here's the Spanish room, here's the German room, you know, if it works out that way. Otherwise, we'll have to figure out, you know, just a way to solve that problem when we go into breakouts or smaller groups, because, you know, I agree, I don't want anyone feeling excluded because of language skills, and they shouldn't.
Yeah, thanks for this, David. So Olivier speaking. You know, we've got four rooms. Two will have interpretation and two will not. So when we make up the groups, we'll make sure that the ones, people who require interpretation will be in the group that will be in the rooms with interpretation. I see Eduardo. Eduardo Diaz.
Yes, thank you, Olivier. This is wonderful. The record. David, all the things that we have been discussing with the groups is giving the people that go there some kind of sort of presentation skills, sharing meetings, and managing the consensus, you know, consensus within a group. Is it possible to link some of this within, you know, when they are doing this course workshops?
Yes, and that would be the intention, is that for each of those skill sets, there is something then that's case-specific that they have to work on. So, for example, you know, managing a meeting, you know, that they have to go into a meeting, and maybe we, and for that one, and I, again, I'm just talking off the top of my head here, nothing's written in stone yet at all, you know, is maybe that meeting has other team members, so instead of being in their usual teams, now they have people from other teams, and they have to coordinate, you know, they have to do 10 minutes of a 30-minute meeting, and then somebody else takes over for 10 minutes and facilitate, you know, what's happening within that meeting. And then for the presentations, obviously, and you know, there's kind of two pieces there. So one is, how do we present the information? And then the other is, what's our presence as we present the information, if that makes sense? So what's our leadership presence? How do we come across to people? As well as how do we communicate information in a clear, concise, compelling way. And we do that with case information as well.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for this, David. Vanda, you have the floor.
Yeah. Let me ask today if there is a possibility to have a role play that, for instance, in the second day and during the time they are together in small groups, they can circulate positions inside this five-people group, that each time one takes the lead, the other is the rapporteur, the other is the guy that is fighting, whatever. In my opinion, they need to be interesting to participate, because it's easily someone take the lead and do not allow all the others really to train that position and train to be in front of the others. So it is normal, even in small groups, that people are shy than others or have less experience and have shame to explain their ignorance in that matter. This kind of people behavior. So we need to have something that demands that each one of these sitting in the small group has a place, a position to exercise leadership, exercise hard work there, exercise, because if it's all together, some of them never really do nothing because they are shy or they have less confidence. So that is the constraint that I believe we need to make sure that the way we distribute groups, explain how they work, supervise their work, will really get the results we expected. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So let me address that, and I'll also address a little bit of what's going on in the chat, too. So, Vonda, to your point, absolutely, I think that when we go into breakout groups, whether we're using a case approach or not, if we're using a learning team approach where they're going in to work on a problem, that we have the leadership within the subgroup shift. So everybody has a chance to act as a leader or at least as a co-leader in a given breakout session. We should absolutely build that in. I like the way you think on that. And then as to some of the info in the chat with Glenn and Eduardo and what have you, is, you know, we're not married to a case approach. And I'm just to be clear, you know, the case approach essentially is, you know, I'm not writing the case. You are. You know, I'm going to give you guidelines on the information that I need to put the content into the case, meaning how do we work conflict into this or how do we work presentations into this. But you, the working group, or others designated by you would be creating the case content. And if we don't use a case approach and we're using, say, scenarios, where in that example, I would present a framework around, again, I'll just say conflict and mediation just at the top because the scenarios are really easy usually for those. And you would create the scenarios. I would edit the scenarios to make sure that we've got the right kind of information there for people to work with and behaviors. And then they would go in and start to work on those scenarios, you know, in the group. So it's not, you know, the whatever information that we build for them, problems to work on, scenarios to play with, you know, that's all internally generated and customized to this particular group. So there's nothing off the shelf, nothing that I have in a library per se. So the relevance to ICANN is, you know, as relevant as you make it. So I'm not making anything up here that wouldn't be relevant to ICANN. So we, you know, we need to, I guess our decision points are, do we want to use a case approach? And if so, then I'll send the guidelines on creating that. Or do we want to use a present and then go in breakouts and practice without a case but using just customized scenarios, which is a possibility too. And I think some of that would be dictated by our time constraints in terms of how many plenaries we have, how many breakouts we have that you want to devote to the leadership training.
Yeah. Thanks very much for this, David. It's Olivia speaking. I do have I mean, it's not a question, but I guess it is a question in that, do you see then that in order for us to and for our community to relate to whichever way we're going to use, whether it's going to be a case scenario or whether it's going to be a
I lost you.
Yeah, we've lost Dacia's audio.
Yep.
Yeah.
He dropped. We'll redial up. Yeah. Second.
And while we're trying to get him back, too, as he started, and I'm again reading the chat at the same time as well, which is always a challenging thing on ICANN calls, by the way, is that the plenary sessions really wouldn't be dealing with the case that much or the scenarios. The breakout sessions would be where we go to the case or the scenarios. The plenary sessions would be more around, you know, the skills of leadership. So if we talk about coaching and mentoring as a skill of leadership, we have a plenary session around coaching and mentoring and some activity within that plenary session, obviously. And then when we go to the breakout session, we'd be working with either coaching scenarios that are specific to the case, you know, or scenarios that we build that aren't, don't have a case to them, but scenarios that we build around coaching, or we use real coaching scenarios, meaning I need coaching on X, so you're going to give me, you know, you're going to play, we're going to, within the breakouts, we're going to play in pairs, you know, and coach each other on something. Or we come up with a plan on how we're going to mentor new people, you know, as they join at large. So plenaries will primarily be content related, and when I say content, more about leadership skills and the skills that we want to impart, while the more of the activity in the breakout work would be around cases and scenarios that we create. Did we get Olivia
yeah.
back?
I'm
yeah.
back, yeah.
Okay.
Go
Olivia,
ahead, Ben.
Your question. No, I'm
Go
just
ahead, Ben.
Saying that, yeah, that is wonderful to heckle. I'm just as fast as saying that I agree with David that the explanation David was done about how to make the split of the group and how to teach them how to do. And but go ahead with your question, Olivier, because you dropped.
Yeah, thanks for this. Thanks very much, Vanda. Olivier Jaffanopoulos speaking. Now, it was kind of a question saying, do you think that we should basically take whatever we've done with I Can Learn or whatever we're subjecting our participants with in I Can Learn and then take it as a natural progression from the I Can Learn courses to our case? So in other words, having clear paths between A and B.
Okay, so the tell me what the question in that is.
The question in there is that we've got a number of courses that we're subjecting our participants to in I Can Learn.
Right.
What is I Can?
Right.
What is the DNSO? What is this? What is that? Etc. And
right.
So, should we then really enable a clear path from that, as a, you know, from that to the to a case?
Yeah, I do believe
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, as many, to me, the learning becomes more effective, as many links and ties that we can create prior to our face-to-face time is great. That, and you know, as long as I know what it is that they're going to be taking prior to the Atlas, then I'll think about that in terms of, you know, designing two things. One is, you know, what's the content that's additive to what they've already studied with I Can Learn. And then two, as we develop case or scenarios, you know, that we can thread in some of those things from the webinars or other I Can Learn tools to make, you know, to integrate that into our case. I don't want to overcomplicate it either.
Yeah,
you know, so.
Wonderful the heckers. In my opinion, we could develop a case that will include, for instance, a problem related to the GNSO, a process with the GNSO that will be doing a PVP, and this is impacts, for instance, the users for one side. The other side, the government is against, so there is a letter from the GAC to the ICANN board, and all those things can get together in a big case, and the people must define how to solve this big case. We can divide this big case also in some parts, so one group for instance, inside the group, the small group, One guy will be leader this time. The other will be the GAC. The other will be the GNSO or the ALAC or the CCNSO. So people will play as a discussion in a cross-community working group and circulating the leadership position, the rapporteur position inside the group with these people, defend each one the position related to one constituency, for instance. And then this can be the link with they have learned to what they are doing sitting in that cross-community working group. That's my suggestion.
Thank you, Vanda. I do have a question for David, and this is where I'm going to get cut off again, isn't it? Do we have enough time, session-wise, to have a case and such as the one that what Vanda was just describing now, and at the same time also some sessions which are more general, or more like, you know, discussion or teaching sessions?
I don't know. And I say that just not knowing that the agenda is kind of fluid at this point. What I can do is, as a next step, is go through the agenda and be more specific about what I would see as a case and or a scenario approach. So, you know, I remember when I went through the last draft of the agenda, I was looking at, okay, so how many plenaries do we have before we have more of a workshop or a breakout? So because the nice flow on that is we present this leadership content, and then they go in and practice it using the case context or the scenario context as their background. And then the next thing, you know, we put them back in, and we give them a new leadership framework, you know, whatever skill set that might be, and now they go into their breakouts and they practice, you know, whatever that is, using scenarios that we create or using something different. You know, the advantages, disadvantages of using a case, like a large case that surrounds the 3 days, you know, an advantage is you're pulling a thread, you know, from point A to point Z over the course of the 3 days working through this case. Disadvantage is, you know, that we're holding ourselves to this context that we create in the case, and we don't want it too global that it gets washed out and it's just a very general thing. But we also don't want it so specific that only half the group can really relate to what's been created in the case. So if we use scenarios in the breakouts, then we just create scenarios based on whatever the skill session is prior to the breakout session.
Okay, thanks for this. It's Olivia speaking. Next question is to do then, what content requirements would you require from the PWG program subgroup? And, you know, what do you see as next steps effectively on this?
Mm-hmm. So if we decide to use a case approach, the next steps would be, I've got a set of guidelines on writing case studies and scenarios that I would send out to the group that you can look at and say, okay, so this is what we really have to create, and then I would edit, and then I'd send back, and you'd edit and send back, and we'd go back and forth on that. That would give us our background. And then from there, I would build, and then simultaneous to that, is we agree on what the content is going to be of the skills training. So we have two sets of content. We've got the case content, which is the backstory and the things that we're making up. But then we also have just agreeing on, okay, in the time frame that we have, these are the leadership skills that we really want to focus on. And then I'm responsible then for marrying those two things, you know, into what will become our program and how that flows throughout. And so in terms of what the working group would be generating, where subgroups would be, like if we go with the case, here's the backstory. You know, here's the big idea. Here's the big picture of what we're working on, and here's what caused this to happen, whatever this was, or what created this need for this problem to be solved. And then we'd have specific scenarios that we would be designing out of that, of you know, what are the conflicts that we have to work with? Where do people need to be coached? What kinds of presentations would fall out of this? And then whoever you have doing writing skills, what kinds of, finished documents would people be creating, or statements would they be creating to practice the writing skills? So those are the kinds of things that we have to figure out as next steps.
Thanks. Thanks, David. Next is Glenn McKnight.
Yeah, thanks, Glenn, for the record. I think what I alluded to before on roadmap, and I think David just talked about it just now, I think we need to give people a clear picture of what their path was, and it goes all the way back to the webinars and ICANN Learn and how it's linked to these disciplinaries and breakouts. But if we just talk about the case studies, each of the case studies are a building block to an end result. So I think we need to think about what they're walking away with. So, you know, and if this theme is the new leaders or leadership within our community, so essential blocks of on leadership is the core for these case studies. So I know I'm not putting you on the spot right now, David, but do you have the core subjects? And I know this thing about conflict keeps coming up. I'm not sure if that's, you know, I don't want to, you know, that's a bit of a fetish. I don't think it's necessarily one thing that we should focus on. But I think the essential leadership skill sets on these plenaries need to be talked about. So, David, do you have any clear idea what the blocks are?
So one of the things that I had created that fell out of the questions that I had asked in Kobe let me see if I can pull it up here real quick, is I had a model that essentially had four elements or four roles that leaders play. And I'm not finding it right away, but essentially the roles were, okay, so as a leader, you know, I have to, you know, is my role as a leader, I have to deal with how do I manage change and what's my presence as a leader, both virtually and physically when I'm with people. And but then at the same time, I have another role as a facilitator. So how do I move the process along? How do I manage meetings effectively? How do I work within a small group context? And then I had another block that I think was coach and mentor. Like Glenn, you and I talked about, should it be coach or should it be mentor or should it be a coach slash mentor? You know, when I'm playing that role, you know, I need to obviously demonstrate coaching skills, and then as a mentor, I need to think about how do I think about the development of this leader, not just coaching them on a situation. And then the other block I think I had was manager. You know, it's just so how do I manage the process and get things done? How do I organize my time? How do I set priorities? How do I do those kinds of things? So that's what had fallen out of the questions that I had asked of the group before I did the workshop in Kobe, and I would refer back to that as a straw model for us to work with to say, okay, let's pick this apart and say, okay, so out of these, we want to add, so for example, we want to add writing skills to this, or we want to add, you know, this to that. You know, I'm using conflict just because it's just an easy scenario thing, but you're right, you know, it might not be appropriate for this group, and we do that a lot with other contexts, with leadership program and things like that. So that's top of head, and I can send around that model again for us to work with as a straw man to start to pick apart.
Glenn, a follow-up question? I see your hand is up. Glenn McKnight is muted.
He's muted? No audio.
Okay, no, he's put his hand down. Okay, I guess, Eduardo, any question or?
This is Eduardo for the record. I just wanted to say that I think with this conversation we have a better, a good idea of what the next steps are and what we have to do in terms of the word that we need to come up with.
Yes, thanks for this. So I think that, as Olivier speaking, as next steps, we're waiting for you to send us a couple of things that you just mentioned here, David. And then for the group itself, I guess that the next steps are for Glenn and
and Vanda to, I guess, convene their group and start throwing ideas for, you know, the case studies, effectively, or, you know, sort of the way forward when it comes down to the topic itself to be discussed by the group. Is that sort of the right way forward, or how?
Yeah, so I'll do two things. This is David for the record. I'll send that leadership model that I had used in Kobe just as a starting place. Again, I'm not married to it at all. It's just based on the feedback that I had received. And then two, I'll send the guide on creating a case approach that will probably be a better explanation than my rambling verbal explanation on the phone, you know, if we use that. And know that, you know, it doesn't become, if we do use a case approach, it's not all about the case. It's about the topics of leadership that we're working with, and then the case is just our tool to explore those topics. So the case won't be this monster that takes over the entire thing. We create it accordingly. And we can make that as big or as large or as small as we want to. But the important thing is that it is very laser focused on what these people are going to be working with versus something that's more generic that won't make as much sense to them or be as close to home.
Okay, and what do you need from us?
At this point, probably, you know, as the agenda shifts and changes, as we get farther down the road, what I'll need is what is the final agenda, you know, starting to look like, so I can really start to design, you know, what do we realistically have time to do, and how do I divide up the content in a way, and to Glenn's point, you know, what's the cognitive roadmap of learning that goes through these 3 days and then pre and post as well, but you know, how does that all flow and how does that all, you know, click together just to create that? And so I'll know more once I know what the final agenda is going to look like. And I'll use the most recent version that I have as just a very rough guide on what may be possible.
Yes, thanks, David. I mean, it's Olivier speaking. You've heard what I told you. The last, you know, the version will be finalized in September. I think it's not a joke. It's actually the case. This is the madness of it. So I think we need to of course, do a lot more before that and reach that level, you know, and so that you can change, make some very last minute changes and things by then. I mean, Gisela, am I talking rubbish or is that a reality?
Olivier, this is Gisela for the record. You're not talking rubbish. Unfortunately, it's a reality. Pretty much in the ICANN world, we have moving parts. We will, as I said in the chat, I'm really working hard with meetings team to fine-tune the block schedule. Things have come out of the Kobe meeting, which they will now be implementing into the block schedule for Montreal. Things are never done overnight, so to get everyone to agree on when to have certain meetings, when to have certain sessions, community-focused, etc., it will take time to put these pieces together. But I really am hoping and working hard to have something a little bit closer to the final by Marrakesh, which is in June. And then we'll take it from there. But I will keep you posted at all times on the progress we're making, just to make sure that there are no major changes with what we already have. But just as a reminder, we've got two rooms with interpretation and two rooms which won't have interpretation. Thank you.
Thanks very much for this, Gisela. And so I guess the other action item is for the program, the PWG program subgroup. I've noticed in the chat, Vanda and Glenn mentioning a call next week. Is that what you wanted?
Yeah, something like that to put the group together. And Glenn is saying that we need a doodle to make sure every majority can participate.
Cool. Excellent. So Olivier speaking. So that's fine. I note that this is put in the action items with Yeshim to send out a doodle ASAP, I guess.
Yeah.
For the program, PWG program subgroup to have a call next week.
any specific time that you guys would like to, would prefer or avoid? Because obviously you both of you, Glenn and you as the co-chairs, it's better when you are there. So
yeah, we are in the same, we are in the almost the same time zone. So
do you have a preferred day or a day to avoid, just to make sure?
Well, probably the one, the most important is the connection with the other groups, like auction groups, ATRT, and those groups that we must be there. So the other group that we are not a really member is not so relevant if we apologize.
Okay, thanks for this, Vanda. That's noted. And we still have 3 minutes to this call. Is there anything that we have forgotten to talk about today? Not seeing any hands up. So thank you very much for joining the call, David, today. And we look forward to the follow-up with you. And in the meantime, the group will have probably met as well. And we'll start kicking some ideas around as to
great
topics and so on. But I cannot emphasize the, you know, the amount of time, and that I speak from experience, the amount of time I have spent in the past trying to devise things according to a specific schedule and then being told at the very last minute, sorry, that's changed, you have to turn it upside down. It's, you know, so
we can work
with
that.
Don't spend too much
time on
that. Let's just look at the overall structure and you know, block of time effectively in the meeting and take it as X number of hours that need to be filled, and then we'll work it out.
Mm-hmm. Getting
thanks
the skills
much,
right that we want to, okay.
Any other business, A or B?
The last thing that I'll say, this is David for the record, is getting the skills right is our first priority. This is what we want to teach in this period of time. And the second thing, and this is the thing that we can work on prior to the agenda being finished, is any kind of background information, whether scenarios, case information, et cetera, you know, all that can be developed, and then I can cut and add as I need to on the final design wave that happens between September and November.
Okay, thanks for this. And Glenn, Vanda, any last questions or comments?
No, not for my side.
Okay, cool. I'm not hearing from Glenn, but I see that he was typing. So I think everything is fine. And I can give you all 1 minute back to your life. Thank you very much.
Great,
this
thanks
call.
So much.
Okay,
how
thanks
Thank
to
you.
All. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you. This meeting is now ended. Have a lovely rest of the day. Bye-bye.